So let the trumpet sound from across the valley. I'll tell you more about it later, but it was some money that Dad had paid to the IRS, significant sum, and Daniel had gone back and got it back. So it couldn't have come at a better time for the school and everything. So that's going to dovetail perfectly into my sermon today. It just comes to me. Interesting. I'm teasing. We were talking about being present in the kingdom of God yesterday or last week, and I wanted to kind of elaborate on that. When I was a younger man, I had some friends who were less than savory, and one of them had tattoos on his fingers, amongst other places. Who am I to judge? Right? And on one, he had love. And on the other one, he had hate. You better just watch which one you get, Joanne. And I think often people think love and hate, but I would argue that it's not the opposite to love isn't hate. I would say the opposite to love is fear. Because fear causes you, it clouds your vision. It saps your strength. Does Yoda say, fear gives way to hate, hate gives way to anger or something? And that's how you become a Sith. And you have to have a red lightsaber. Fear of the future is what holds many of us back. And I was already thinking about that, but then when I got the text about Harjeet, I felt compassion for Harjeet and fear for myself. Maybe I'm a selfish person. But that thought of what if? We deal in so much fear often, daily. It could be existential dread, or it could just be anxiety about tomorrow. There's the Sunday evening blues where we think about, oh no, I gotta go to work tomorrow. When I was a young man, I had so much anxiety that I could only wear black shirts because I would sweat. And I was just constantly worried about what was gonna happen. Is the devil gonna get me? Is something gonna happen to the loved ones that I have? And so I just lived in this fear. And it's taken me a long time to work on it. And I have gotten better, but I'm still not free. And the fear, in my mind, comes from two things. Lack of faith in God and lack of faith in your own capabilities. So, faith, fear is the opposite of love and the absence of faith. The enemy creates a whole host of real and imagined threats to keep us from the kingdom of God. One of my favorite Old Testament verses is Psalms 23. And it's written, many people believe the book of Psalms is written by David. We don't know, but I would be inclined to believe that. And those of you who don't know much about David knows that he's a warrior king and that he also has a love for the Lord. He also did some things not super cool. Bathsheba, I'm looking at you. But he has this love of the Lord and he writes these poems and sings. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David is speaking at a time when people used to batter down walls, kill the men, and sell the women and children into slavery. If he can find freedom from fear in that environment, I think I can find freedom from fear of my W-2s. We take for granted how good we have it. And if you live in fear, then it really, your circumstances don't matter. Because if you are a fearful person, whether you're poor and you're worried about whether your next meal will come from, or whether you're rich and you're worried about losing all of the things that you had got, either way, you're not in the kingdom of God. Because somehow you have been convinced that the forces that oppose you are greater than the forces that are with you. Simply, you lack faith, Gabriel Frazier. When I was young, I had this belief that faith was a firm belief in a predestined outcome. That makes sense. Like, if I just believe this thing hard enough, then it will happen. Maybe that's true. Hasn't worked out for me so far. But maybe faith is belief that God will see me through any circumstances. I believed and I believed and I believed that Darcy would get better. Sorry, this is taking a dark turn for a second. Partially because she didn't tell me how bad it was. Because she loved me and she knew how fragile I was. And so I believed unquestioningly that she would be better. It was just a matter of time. Even as things got worse, it will work out. Dad will fix it and Darce will get better. It will work out. I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. And when we lost her, it shattered me to my core. Nothing's real. Nothing's true. If we can't win at this, then we can't win at anything. But that is not the case. I do not know the hows and whys of it. But I have faith that the Lord will see me through regardless of the circumstances. My faith is not in the outcome. My faith is in the modus operandi. My faith is in the Lord that will see me through it. And when I see her again, my faith will have been proven right. Matthew 17, 20 through 23, the famous faith of a mustard seed. The disciples are trying to cast out demons, but they can't do it. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not drive it out?" And he said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Curious. I have not seen any flying mountains, have you? So in the entire history of human beings, nobody has had the faith of a mustard seed? Maybe I'm reading this wrong. Because I'm still relatively new on my journey, there may be a case in 40 years, in 100 years, where I'm throwing mountains around. But until then, this thought occurs to me. I thought that I could not be happy in life without certain people and things being around. And when I lost those people and things, I said, "You see, that's why I'm not happy." But as I began to look inwardly and seek the Lord, I began to get a little faith. And the happiness came with it. The faith led me to the impossibility that I could be happy even in difficult circumstances. Does that make sense? I used to dread going to Sacramento on these other trips. Those of you who have never taken a group of middle schoolers somewhere, you don't know my pain. We went to a candy store last year, and one of the kids could have picked any candy. He got 20 fart bombs and just threw them at people all day. I thought, how could... And I just stressing, what happens? What if one of the kids get hurt? What if one of them's allergic to fart bombs? What if? I just got to get through this. I just got to grip my teeth, and I got to get through this. But that's not the case. I had a wonderful time. I'll show you some pictures if you'd like one time. Because I believed that if I follow the guidance of the Lord, that he will help me. Through big things like sickness and cancer, through little things like work on a Monday. And I can be happy even in difficult circumstances. Because the faith of a mustard seed, the mustard seed is a weed. When you plant it in a garden, it spreads throughout the garden. So I planted it in my heart. And little by little, it spreads to every other aspect. And so I have faith that no matter what comes up in life, that I will be able to be happy, fulfilled, and close to my Creator. Is that making sense? Possibly one day I'll be thrown around mountains. I think I told you one time I asked my father, well, Dad, if that were true, then there would just be mountains flying around. How are you even going to drive around? There's just mountains flying. He said, Gabriel, if you had the ability and the faith and the wisdom to do that, you wouldn't be throwing mountains around. Touché. Well played. All right, I'll think of another one. I never thought of one. Your faith can give you the ability to do the impossible, including living without fear, regardless of the circumstances. When the church was first beginning, there was this very big question about the nature of Jesus. Is he all God? Is he all man? Is he half God? Is he half man? Because they say, be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, if you believe in me, the works that you do, shall I do also? Well, if you can walk on water and I can't because you're God and I'm not, well, then that doesn't seem like a fair playing ground. Anyhow, in Luke chapter 22, Jesus is about to go and be betrayed and crucified, and he knows the score. He knows what's up. The Romans do this kind of thing regularly. They could behead people, they could arrest them, they could banish them. They crucify them publicly to show everybody else, you step out of line, this is what you get. Jesus knows what's coming for him. But because he's able to hear the Lord on a constant basis, he always knows how to react. Does that make sense? He says, I only ever do what I see the Father doing. So if you could be in that way, then you could do, who knows what you could do. But because he's still born of Mary, he knows that he's going to be nailed to a cross and that it's going to be terrible. And he has lived his whole life knowing it, and now that the moment's come, he's worried. Because of course he is. So he goes up to pray. And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Is there any other way? Maybe we could just do it like a, you know, end runaround, trick the such and such. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Excuse me. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter in temptation. Courage is not necessarily having no fear, but it's trusting in God and that he will see you through that fear. The Lord, in the hour that it's about to happen, is worried. But as he always does, he goes to the author. He goes to Google Maps. He goes to the person who knows the way through. Is there any other way? The Lord says, no, man, this is the way. And he gets up and he goes. He gets up and he goes. How many times have you been afraid and then you know that you should do a thing, but you don't want to do the thing? Give yourself a million excuses, reasons, logical pretzels to get yourself in the presence of your enemies. The Lord will present a banquet. He will see you through. Have the faith of a mustard seed, and he will enter into your life and see you through whatever fear you may have. Faith is not the immutable belief in a foregone conclusion, but trusting in God's guidance and knowledge that he will see you through. So the Lord does not fail. But the second thing is, you have to have some self-confidence. My parents, my mother grew up on a farm. My dad just grew up in the middle of nowhere. And on a farm, they have cows. I know this because when we drive up there, my mom would say, "Babe, look, moo cows." Okay, this is great. But sometimes they have barbed wire, but sometimes the cows get on. They get over the barbed wire and they get on the street. When you can't have this huge, big cow walking on the roads where people are going 70 miles an hour. So what they would do is they would make these grates in the road on the on-ramps. Have you seen these? They're metal grates, and they have little spaces between them. And the cows won't walk on them because they'll break their ankles or whatever the case is. But cows are big dummy dum-dums, so they discovered if you just paint it to look like a grate, the cows still won't cross. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because how many of you have painted grates in your mind about what you can and cannot do? How many of us have created an idea in our heads of what we can and cannot do? What the Lord cannot help us to do and can help us to do? I can't be happy at my work because my boss is terrible. That is not true. Last night, shocker of shockers, they didn't put me in the box. I knew it as soon as I saw the manager. It wasn't my normal guy. And I was like, "Ooh, it's going to be a long night." What's worse, they put me in one of my least favorite places to be. Grocery. Grocery is the main lines, the boulevard. It's where everybody goes to ask where things are. "Excuse me, do you have cheddar cheese?" "Yeah, we have cheddar cheese." "Where is it?" "In the cheese aisle." I don't say it like that, Dogan, because I am ever suffering, long suffering, ever patient. And so this is a little thing, but I started to get bothered about the fact that I had to be in grocery. And then because I'm so often in the box, I'm not kidding, probably 12 people came out to me and be like, "Hey man, why aren't you in the box?" It's funny you should ask that. I love being in the box, as I've said it before, because it's my quiet place. Constantly, there is noise in my life. I teach children, then I go home and my children are there. And then they bring other children that they know to the house. And then I go to Trader Joe's and there's people there. Everywhere I go, there's people, but in the box. I just put up my hood and I put in the milk. And I go to work and I love it. So when I wasn't in the box, I thought to myself, what a long 6 hours this is going to be. And I started to think about all of the things that I had had to do and all of the things that I was going to do. And I started to get grumpy. That makes sense. It seems like a very small thing. But years ago, when I first started working at Trader Joe's, I thought to myself, I can't be happy at work. I'm happy at home. I had this vision in my head. I'm like the cow walking to the street. I see the lines. I can't cross those lines. But the Lord has led me, and I found new ways. There's difficult people that may make your life harder. The Lord can teach you how to love them. Your kids may not be behaving the way that they should. The Lord will teach you how to deal with them. There's difficult circumstances. There's pain and sickness in your body. And you think, "I can't do this," but you can do it. You can do it. You just lean on him who created you and you trust that he will see you through. Lord, help me be happy and peaceful in the grocery aisle. How silly that may sound. But he's with you in the biggest of things, like what happens to me when I die, what happens when I get sick, and he's with you in the smallest of things. Can I be happy driving down the 405? You can do. I worry all the time if I'm not reminded. I worry about bills. I worry about the future. I worry about the school. The enemy is like a roaring lion. He's prowling about, seeking whom he can get. And he gets us day after day after day. How many of us in the world live in this wonderful, living in fear? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? But he guides us. My enemies have surrounded me, but I'm sitting tranquilly, eating my meal, because I know the person that is, I know the entity that has my back is greater than all of them. The last verse. We're getting real close. Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 36. I'll just paraphrase. You know, it's the story of Peter walking on water. They're sailing through the Sea of Galilee, and it's pitch black. It's the fourth watch. And they're walking, they're sailing, and all of a sudden, they see this ghostly figure walking across the water. The fear. And then as he gets closer, that's Jesus. Jesus says, yeah, don't be afraid. Always saying don't be afraid because we're filled with fear. And Peter, the one with the most courage, says, Lord, if that's you, command me to come to you. Says Jesus, Peter, come. And then he steps out. And wouldn't you know it? When he followed the Lord, the thing that he was afraid of, he's able to do. And as long as he's locked on the Lord, boom, 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 boom. Great. Everything's great. But because Peter is afraid, he looks down. As soon as he looks down, the fear, this can't be right. This is impossible. The Lord can't do this. And he begins to sink. And he calls out to the Lord, save me, I'm going to drown. And the Lord says to Peter, ye of little faith. Well, Peter at least got out of the boat. Thomas was sitting in the poop deck. I don't know where he was. How many times are we like that? When I first was asked to be pastor here, I started to think of all of these fears. I'm not going to be good enough. I'm not going to be as good as dad. What are people going to say? What are they going to think? And he's helped me through all of it. I've grown. I continue to grow. And my friends, if I can do it, you can do it. Greater is he who is in you than he who is against you. He will be with us. We just have to be on guard, watching when that fear comes to take us, when that self-doubt comes to take us. And trust in him. It may not come out as you think it should, but it will come out. The Lord will guide you through. Even a terrible thing. Losing dad was one of the worst things that ever happened to me. I lived a peaceful life because he just fixed everything. And so even in that terrible thing, the Lord has helped me grow through it. That makes sense? I'd rather be growing with him here, but that's not the case. What is it that's holding you back? What is it that's sapping your strength? Get to work. Follow him. They're having fun out there. That's my daughter. The key to faith is prayer. I'm going to close with this. Praying every day gives you a heightened awareness of the Lord's guidance. Disciplined prayer helps strengthen the bond between you and the Lord, and it enables you to see and hear the things that you should do. It gives you a more educated way of looking at things. If I was someone trying to figure out how how viruses go from animals to humans, I'm lost. I don't know what I'm doing. And like, I think it's when the dog bites you that's bad. However, if I was an epidemiologist, I'm studying, I'm learning, I'm surveying, I'm gaining knowledge, and I'm able to see the patterns more clearly. For years and years and years, my prayer time was something that I rarely did, and if I did, it was something that I was put upon to do. Oh yeah, I gotta pray. For years. And then I'd pray like a child. Just please make everybody happy and please get... But I've gotten better at it, you see? It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. I had a list of things that I have to do. And prayer was way down at the bottom. I bumped it up to the top. And now every day, even in Sacramento, kids are sleeping, tiptoe to the bathroom, close, lock the door. Pray to the Lord. And then when we start going to Sacramento, and we're in Old Town Sacramento, and there's cars driving around, instead of thinking, what could possibly go wrong? What could happen to these children? What should I be watching out for? The Lord was calling me, and we had the best time ever. The kids laughed and laughed and laughed. I think they maybe even learned something. And they said, Mr. Frazier, this is so much fun. Thank you, Mr. Frazier. You're welcome, Caleb. I'm having an awesome time, too. We got candy. It couldn't be. How could I be happy? I'm not with my children. I'm losing money. This is hard. No, it's not, Gabriel. Pray, seek him, and he will teach you. Some of you may not be as susceptible to fear as others of you. But all of us have that nagging doubt in our mind. All of us have that feeling of dread sometimes. All of us fear the future from time to time because you've been led to believe that there's something bad out there waiting to take what's yours. There may be something bad out there, but in here, is something far greater. It fills me up sometimes. People go, oh, this is the last year with Jude. What are you gonna do? She's growing into a young, beautiful woman. What are you gonna do? I am going to love it. You can't scare me. I live like a king. She's never going to be my little green-eyed girl anymore, but she's going to be a beautiful young woman who loves her father, and her father loves her back. Every good thing can be better, and every bad thing can be made good through him who is the author of what is good. Don't let him rob from you. Do not let him rob from you. Pray. Even MC Hammer said it. We've got to pray just to make it today. And he had big billowy pants. So that guy can figure it out. We can all figure it out. Pray for Harjeet. Pray for her to get better. Pray for Simon. And pray for courage and strength. And what will be. And the Lord will guide us through. At the church, in your house, in your body, in your marriage, in your children, in your job. He's laying out a banquet. Don't ignore it by looking at all the enemies. Follow him. Make prayer a routine in your life. If it already is, good. Add some time to it. Or don't. It's up to you. And if you haven't done, do it. Not for him. He's not up there making a checklist. But you'll better and better and better. And just like the mustard seed grows into a plant that grows into other plants that infects the whole garden, the Spirit of the Lord will change your whole life. I drive to church every Sunday, and I see people walking their dogs and doing wonderful mundane things. And I think to myself, if they only knew. But they've been lied to. They think it's It's about converting other people. It's about living a life of unboundless joy and possibility. Be blessed this week. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. I'm going to bow my head and we'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these people. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you for this day. Thank you for Harjeet. Bless her, Lord. Bless Simon. Bless us. Heal us, protect us, guide us, and bring us back next week filled with the good news of your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now,